couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week, we're going to be talking about a bunch of movies that we haven't seen because they didn't show it to us.
No.
These include Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, Parker, Movie 43 as well. We're also going to talk about DVDs and Blu-rays, as we do every week.
Of course.
But first of all, before we do anything, I have to say welcome back. You were gone last week.
It is so good to be back. I cannot tell you how good it is to be back.
Just waiting to get on the show with me.
Yes. Yes. It is the highlight of my life to be here. And you would think that, you know, going on vacation for a week would be a wonderful thing, but it was the worst vacation ever.
I've heard your horror stories.
Yes, it was terrible.
You brought disease and pestilence and
there was disease and pestilence. It was a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here in the magical studio in the sky. I've got a hazmat suit on. I've got a surgical mask.
It's a stylish suit.
It is. It makes me look fat.
You must have had it custom made.
Does it make me look fat? Does it make my ass look big? Sorry.
Does this hazmat suit make my ass look big?
I don't have much of a butt. Did you know that? I don't know if you've noticed. I don't know if you've checked
me out.
You know,
I haven't actually paid attention to that.
I don't. My wife calls it a nano butt.
Hmm.
I have a, it's sort of like, you know, people have washboard abs.
Yeah.
Not me. I don't have them.
There are people who do, yes.
I have washboard ads. They're just
buried under everything else.
Yeah, they're like under 80 pounds of gut. But I have a washboard butt. It's, if I were to stand, I won't do this.
So okay.
You're
Thank
safe.
You.
I'm not going to like whip off my clothes or anything, unless you need me to.
No, that's okay.
It's
just
kind of
keep
a
them
small
on.
Studio.
It's all right. Thanks.
But if you were to look at my profile, sort of like the Alfred Hitchcock profile, yeah, I'd have the belly coming up, but it just would drop off. You know, so it's like a cliff.
Nice.
You could see, you know, somebody like Marinda from Brave scaling it. I mean, the shower and water is coming down. But yeah, I have no butt. I have just no butt whatsoever. My son is inherited. My dad has no butt.
Huh.
I got it. I didn't get it. Well, I didn't get it. I got the no butt gene.
Hmm.
And I passed it along to Liam, my oldest son. Ben and Nick, they got booty.
Well, that's good.
But Liam and I...
They have something to hang their pants on. That's good.
Yeah, so how did we get on this discussion?
I have no idea.
I blame you.
But I'm pretty sure it was your fault.
Let's talk about the box office this week. You are stuck with the prediction from Nick Harum from last week.
There's that, yeah. I'll take him.
Yeah. You know. We, both Nick and I said that The Last Stand was going to win the box office. Boy,
how about that?
We were just wrong. We were colossally, stupendously wrong. I said it was going to make $25 million. Nick said it was going to make $18 million. It's going to be lucky to make $18 million in its entire run.
You know, I probably would have been with you on that, though.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
I think Nick had a pretty good prediction.
It did not win. Mama won. In this, we're going to be talking the four-day weekend. We're not going to get into nuances too much of comparing the three-day to four-day because it was Martin Luther King Day weekend.
Right.
But Mama made $33 million, and that took the first box office, which is – that's for the four-day spread. That's pretty good. That's about on the level – in terms of horror movies, that's about on the level of Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Because you added an extra day in there. And then Zero Dark Thirty came in second with 19. And then you go down the list of Silver Linings and Gangster Squad. You don't get to Broken City until $9.5 million at place number six. It was place
ridiculous.
Number, it was place number five during the three-day weekend, and then it was beaten out by A Haunted House, which basically meant A Haunted House had better legs than Broken City did. Because both movies were terrible.
See, now this is what happens when I go on vacation. Everything falls apart.
The
whole world falls apart.
Yeah. You know, they're going to be writing books about this, and they'll be like, well, Hollywood was doing great. It had $200 million opening weekends, billion-dollar box office. Then KDK won a vacation.
I know.
And it all went to the toilet.
I cannot go on vacation ever again.
Yeah. Then you had Les Mis, Django, The Hobbit, and then squeaking it at number 10 was The Last Stand at $9 million.
That's ridiculous.
For 4 days.
I don't know
what happened. Do you remember when Schwarzenegger was this massive box office draw?
I do. I would still go and see him.
It's
just out of morbid curiosity. I mean, really, people.
And The Last Stand's not a bad movie. I mean, A Haunted House, Gangster Squad beat it in its second weekend. And Broken City made $500,000 more than it, and Broken City was terrible. It was an awful movie. And yeah,
sorry, so Arnold.
The last thing, I don't know what happened. I mean, here's what I attribute it to.
Yes,
I attribute it to the fact that the last time he made a movie, the movie-going audience that they aim for, that 18 to 25, mm-hmm. were, like, not old enough to see the movie.
It's true.
The last movie he made, like, headlined, was Terminator 3.
That was a long time ago.
And even then, that was not the biggest of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I liked it, I really enjoyed that one. But then he was dealing with some I wouldn't call them stinkers because I thought they were okay movies. It's just they weren't the big, huge...
Yeah.
Terminator 2 kind of movies,
yep.
in the 2000s, stuff like End of Days and
mm-hmm.
and what was it, The Sixth Day?
Yeah, something like that.
And Collateral Damage.
Right.
And I thought those were okay movies, but Collateral Damage was very Commando-ish.
I remember when they did the press for that one, and they had him on the radio station in Toronto.
Ooh.
And he couldn't actually say the name of the movie.
Oh.
He kept stumbling through it during his interview.
Collateral Damage.
He couldn't say it.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Wow. So, yeah, The Last Stand. It did beat The Hobbit in a three-day weekend, which basically means that The Hobbit, more than a month after it came out, in the waning end of its release,
mm-hmm.
did better throughout the weekend.
Yeah. It's kind of
sad. Than The Last Stand. Which is a shame.
January.
I don't know. Maybe it was maybe it was an R-rated thing? I don't know if that had anything to do with it, because Mama was not rated R. Mama was a PG-13 horror movie.
I guess, but I couldn't see that one taking the box office.
I thought that one was going to... Well, part of it also may be the marketing campaign because, I mean, they saturated... Universal saturated the market with ads for Mama.
Hmm.
And this may have had something to do with it. And also, that would play well at this time of year. And The Last Stand wasn't marketed terribly well because I think they blew their wad on that kind of thing with The Expendables 2.
True, yeah.
So, anywho, the only other thing in the box office is The Hobbit is now over $920 million. It's on its way to break $1 billion.
Yes, it'll get there.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And if you want to email us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysofthemovies.com. Voicemail is 740-205-6456. You can reach us on the web at fatguysofthemovies.com, and you can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/FGATM. You can get me on Twitter. I'm twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I am KDK Reviews. And you can find me at realdiscovery.org and nightsandweekends.com.
Yeah. One other little thing I want to point out about the box office, and this is just me vamping so we don't have to talk about movie 43. But what's interesting is now people are like saying, Jessica Chastain is the box office champ.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, she is. But I don't think anyone saw Mama because Jessica Chastain was in it.
I don't think so.
I don't think many people
I don't
knew
think that's really her audience.
Yeah. It's and this is nothing. I mean, I'm not a big Jessica Chastain fan. I think she came on very strong and almost too strong at times.
Yeah. She definitely made way too many movies in one year.
Yeah.
Which she made them throughout a few years. They just all came out at the same time.
Yeah.
But I think she's a wonderful actress. Mm-hmm. I think she's great. But yeah, I don't think that she is the draw in some of these movies. Like, people aren't seeing Zero Dark Thirty because Jessica Chastain's in it.
Yeah. Again, I don't think they... I mean, if they're aware she's in it, she's got an Oscar nomination and, you know, a lot of awards nominations and some wins.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I don't think... She's not... This reminds me of... Because I pointed this out to somebody, and I think they'll... I can't remember somebody mentioned the last time it happened where this one person was headlining two movies in number one and number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wrong with mine because I said it was Russell Brand. And when actually the actual numbers came in, it was a one and a three. Like,
okay.
It was when Arthur came out.
Yep.
And it was Arthur and Hop because he did the voice of
right.
Rabbit
yep.
and Hop.
Yep.
And I think when the initial box office estimates came out, it was number one. Like I was Arthur and then Hop.
Okay.
Or vice versa, and then one of them dropped actually to number three when the actuals came in.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think... oh, my gosh, you know what? We got to play a trailer. Let's play the trailer for movie 43. 12 different storylines from 12 different records merge into a huge ensemble cast. We'll talk to it on the end of the break.
How's your HPV?
It's your HPV, Veronica. I'm just carrying it.
Truth or dare?
Yeah.
See that blind kid over there?
I dare you to
blow out his candles before he gets a chance to.
They homeschool their son.
It's very important that Kevin has a normal and complete high school experience.
Dropped your books.
Surprise! Caught you a leprechaun.
Just when I thought it couldn't get more offensive.
Boom!
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We've been talking about all kinds of things at all the same time.
It just all came out at once. I don't know what happened.
Yes, I don't know what happened.
We were too busy talking about your awful, horrible, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad vacation.
Yes.
And my butt. Apparently that was a subject of discussion.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies and...
Yeah. There's one part of me that's not fat.
So. These are things we talk about on this show.
Anywho, we
and
were
for that,
talking.
I apologize.
Should we? Is there any thoughts you have on Jessica Chastain before we finish? Because we were talking about Jessica Chastain, and then we had to play this movie trailer.
Yeah, we've been all over the place.
Yeah.
Jessica Chastain, like I said, I think she's a great actress, but she's not a box office draw.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's seen movies because of her yet.
No.
I mean, she might. And this always happens with stars. You had like Jude Law. You always have the it person, mm-hmm. the it girl or the it guy. Jude Law, there was a period of time like 2005 where he was in like 8 movies that came out that year.
Yep.
And Jessica Chastain had that last year. She's in fewer movies this year, but she still was, or 2012, I mean, she had Zero Dark Thirty,
mm-hmm.
and she had Lawless. But like 2011, she had like The Help.
Oh, yeah, there
and
were
Texas Killing Fields and Coriolanus and
Debt, right? The Debt.
The Debt, she was in that. That's what it was.
Tree of Life.
The Debt, I think she did this. If somebody else, she has shown up in number one and number two when The Debt came out.
Okay.
Because The Help was also
right,
out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anyone saw The Help because of her. She was great in that.
She was, but it was a very small part.
Yeah. I mean, it was not, if you said, oh, yeah, she was in that, wasn't she?
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, may give her a little bit longer. It's kind of like.
It could happen, yeah, but. It's just not there yet.
I don't think – the other thing is I don't think Jessica Chastain – if you compare her to, say, somebody like Jennifer Lawrence, who mm-hmm. kind of came on strong as well because what it is, she really came on strong with Winter's Bone, even though she did a couple films before. She
did
a movie called The Poker House where Jennifer Lawrence is essentially the same story, same kind of character mm-hmm. as Winter's Bone. But Jennifer Lawrence didn't become the draw until she did The Hunger Games.
Right.
And Jessica Chastain hasn't had that. You know, maybe movie nerds who, like, loved Tree of Life are going to see it because of
really? Her. Do you think they will?
No.
No, I don't think so.
But, I mean, if Jessica Chastain – and this is what I thought was so weird about Mama is that it was supposed to come out in October of this past year.
Okay.
And to me, that was like, this is not the kind of movie you expect her – you expect her to do this on the way up before she gets stuff like Tree of Life and The Help. And,
yeah. This isn't one of those movies that you're going to be like, oh, Jessica Chastain's in it, I'm going to go see it. It's more of the movie that you're like, what are you doing, Jessica Chastain?
Yeah. Why are you in this movie? It was on the shelf for 3 years and then you made it big. Or like when Elizabeth Olsen was in Silent House last year.
Yeah.
And it was for no other reason it got released theatrically than because she got a lot of buzz for Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Right.
So, are you impressed I was able to say that whole?
I am, actually. I was waiting for you to trip over that one, and you did it. I'm very proud of you.
Or I just call it which makes it sound even creepier than the movie is.
It's a pretty creepy movie.
Anyways, now let's talk about movie 43.
Do we have to?
I don't even know what this movie's about. It's an ensemble thing. You heard the trailer.
Yep.
I have a friend on Facebook who said, he says, I predict you're going to hate this movie. And I'm like, well, you probably will. A lot of people are in this big ensemble thing, a bunch of different storylines.
Yeah. Okay.
It looks like it's trying to, it's like trying to be a hipper version of like Valentine's Day.
Oh, jeez.
Or...
that's exactly what we need.
New Year's Eve.
Another Valentine's Day.
But it's got like, it's like a Kate Winslet. It's like all these Oscar nominees, but like, you know, Halle Berry. You know, it's
yeah,
sort of like,
well, what has Halle Berry done lately that...
Have you seen the trailer for her new movie? Not movie 43, but the one where she's a 911 caller. I forget what it's, I think it's called The Call.
I think I have. Yeah.
And they're like, Academy Award winner Halle Berry. And she's the kind of actress where you're like, oh, she did win an award. She did win an Oscar for having sex with Billy Bob Thornton.
Right. Now, wasn't Halle Berry in New Year's Eve as well?
I think she was.
She had a very small part.
That's right.
There you go.
Everybody had a small part in that.
Yes.
And then there was also, in this movie, The Call, Abigail Breslin plays the kidnapper. So they're like, Academy Award nominee, Abigail Breslin. I'm like, seriously? That was like Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
She was like 14 when that happened. Anyways.
Okay.
I don't know. Movie 43, it gets preemptive suck. They didn't
yes,
show it,
it does.
To us. I don't know if they showed it to anybody. And then the next movie we're going to talk about is Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. The brother-sister team from Grimm's Fairy Tale takes the fight to win. Wow, I didn't have good typing skills. Anyways, the brother-sister team from Grimm's Fairy Tale take the fight to witches with guns and crossbows and probably nuclear grenades at some point.
Me and my sister, we have a past. We almost died at the hands of a witch. But that past made us stronger. We've gotten a taste of blood, witch blood. And we haven't stopped since.
My name is Gretel. And this is my brother Hansel.
How do you best kill a witch?
Cutting off her head tends to work.
You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're talking about Hansel and Gretel. You notice I give the German Hansel instead
yes.
of Hansel. It's not Hansel.
It's not? Come on.
It's not like I'm from Singing in the Rain.
Nice.
What's the last? Have you seen,
it is
you've
so
seen Singing
to be
in the
back.
Rain? You've seen Singing in the Rain, haven't you?
Yes.
I can't stand him. Everybody over 50 is going to get that reference and nobody else.
Oh. So. Yeah.
What do you think of Hansel and Gretel?
This is another one of those. We were just watching the commercial the other night, and my husband, he stopped. You know, normally we fast forward through everything because, you know, it's on our DVR.
Yeah.
And my husband actually stopped to watch this commercial because he was so mesmerized by it. And he got done, and he was speechless. And he just looked at me and like, yep, that's happening.
It's kind of like it's like they're Van Helsing-ing some yeah. Grimm fairy tales. Do you remember Van Helsing? I liked Van Helsing.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculously entertaining. It
but
was.
I did like it. But mm-hmm. I don't know. This one, it sounds like a joke.
It does. And you watch the commercial, it's like, this isn't serious, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. The only screening they did of this in Ohio, the entire state, was in Cleveland at like 8 o'clock on a Thursday. I wasn't driving up on 8 o'clock on
no.
Thursday night. So this one, and it's been on the shelf for like years, and Jeremy Renner suddenly became
famous.
Yeah,
now Jeremy Renner, there you go.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner, and you know, he was Hawkeye and Avengers, and he was in the Bourne Legacy, and he's the new It
Mission
guy.
Impossible.
Yep, he's the new It guy, and he's the guy who's supposed to be inheriting all these franchises. Maybe not work so much for the Bourne
and also
Legacy.
the Grimm's Fairy Tale franchises.
Yeah, it just looks so awful.
It looks terrible.
It looks like it's going to be a great movie that you can get drunk and see
in
10 years.
I'd even do it now.
It's be like fine wine.
It's one of those things that, you know, all of the film critics, these are the movies that we all go out for drinks and then we go and see them.
Like Snakes on a Plane.
Exactly.
Oh, and you heard that he died. Did you hear that?
I did.
David Ellis?
I did. I heard that.
David R. Ellis. Mm-hmm. David Ellis. Was it his name? There's a guy who works in TV. One of them's R and one of them's not. But, yeah, the guy who directed Snakes on a Plane.
Yes.
Sorry to hear that. It was kind of unexpected.
Yeah.
Too. So. Well, I just brought us all down.
Well, thanks for that.
Anywho, that's about it for this segment. We talked
about it.
As much as we could.
Mm.
Anyways, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about box office and Parker.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
We were talking about Hansel and Gretel, Witch
nice.
Hunters. What Grimm fairy tale would you like to see made into an action movie with lightning and explosions and boom and all that stuff?
You know, I've been thinking about it. I think Cinderella.
Cinderella?
Yes.
Well, they have made live action. They've made like Ever After.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
Yeah, you
it didn't
it
have lightning
action.
And explosions and boom.
No, you need to have lightning. Who would you cast as Cinderella? Jennifer Lawrence?
Well, Jessica Chastain, of course.
No, Jessica Chastain would play the evil queen, stepmother. No, you'd have like Rachel Weisz, you know, because she's in Oz.
There you go.
But I mean, I really don't think there's a danger of that happening because I don't think Hansel and Gretel is going to become
You don't think so?
It won't be a runaway success.
Really? You never know. You saw what the box office was like last weekend, although I'm not on vacation this weekend. So.
That's true. It's also going back to Jeremy Renner. I like him, but I don't think he's necessarily – I don't think he's proven himself as the guy that people go see in movies.
Oh, no.
He's not like – to use the Mission Impossible comparison,
mm-hmm.
he's not like Tom Cruise. Say what you want to about Tom Cruise, but
– people go to see Tom Cruise.
Yeah, especially internationally. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got people like Tom Cruise, although Jack Reacher – did you hear this? The Jack Reacher, they basically came out and said, we're not making another one.
Thank goodness.
Unless it does super huge business in Asia, which is possible. I mean, it's basically the Asian contingency.
I guess it could happen, but I hope it doesn't.
Well, but I mean, that's...
Because I really don't want to have to see that again.
But see, that's what happens with the international stars. Like somebody like Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He can make a movie that makes $20 million in America, and it will make tons of money. There are certain stars and directors who play incredibly well overseas.
Like David Hasselhoff?
Well, he's the joke. But I mean, like, in terms of directors, anything by Michael Bay usually does extremely well overseas.
Yeah.
Because he just blows stuff up the entire
time. Well, yeah.
Anything by Roland Emmerich tends to do extremely well overseas.
So could we take Michael Bay and make the Cinderella movie?
That would be one Michael Bay movie I would actually be encouraged to watch.
Yeah, I would see that.
It would star, like, this ridiculous Victoria's Secret model who can't act her way out of a paper bag.
Of course.
And she'd be, and like Prince Charming would be Shia LaBeouf.
Yay.
Remember when he was like the big it guy?
The next big thing.
What has Shia LaBeouf done lately?
He's run into cars. He's broken bones.
I don't know. Yeah. He's sort of like, he's going down that
he's
Lindsay
He's gotten
Lohan
arrested time. For very strange things.
Yeah. Yeah, he does, didn't he? What did he get? You're right. He gets arrested for weird stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, should we talk about the next movie?
I suppose we should.
Okay. What is that one?
The next one is Parker. Jason Statham plays a good-hearted thief who seeks revenge after being double-crossed on the job.
I don't steal from people who can't afford it. And I don't hurt people that don't deserve it. So relax.
I gotta say, Parker, you came as advertised, but I'm gonna need the whole score for this next thing.
We made a deal.
If you were me, what would you do with a guy like you?
I'd kill him while I had the chance. Most importantly, if you say you'll do something and you don't, I'll make sure you regret it.
So, what do you...
So.
This was the movie that I realized the most terrifying two words you're ever gonna see in a movie trailer.
Jennifer Lopez?
Well, that too. That's pretty terrible. We'll get to that in a second. But it was this January. You know, they always be like this spring, this summer, this January. Yeah. And I realized there are some really terrible movies that come out in January.
Really? You're just figuring that out now?
I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Because I've been around a while and I'm kind of used to that.
January is not a good time for movies.
It is a great time for horrible movies.
Well, and you know, the thing is...
It is a good time for bars near movie theaters.
That's true.
It is.
What's funny is you mentioned the Jennifer Lopez contingency on this one.
Yes.
Remember when she was a movie star and she wasn't just...
I do.
...second fiddling it in January?
Mm-hmm.
And this shows how far she has sunk in her career.
I'm trying to think. When was the last time that she made a big movie? I mean, other than...
The Breakup
Plan. The Backup Plan, which was just horrible.
Oh, bad.
It was terrible.
But she had that one, and then she had... last year, she was in that What to Expect What You're Expecting.
Yeah, she had a small part in that.
Yeah, that was another one of those ensemble movies. Ensemble movies.
Nice.
That was my latest.
You're going all European this
time. That's right. I'm trying to appeal to my international audience,
right.
Like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, we have our huge international audience.
No, but you're right. She did that. But before the Backup Plan, I mean, are we talking Geely? Because the Backup Plan was like,
no,
what,
she
2009?
Made the one movie with Mark Anthony. What was that called?
The sequel to Selena is basically what it was. Wasn't she a singer?
Yes. And it was terrible.
It was a Spanish name.
Mm-hmm.
It was a movie that nobody
El Cantante.
Remembered. El Cantante, that's what it was.
Thank you. I took Spanish.
I did not see it.
3 years, thank
did
you.
Did you see it?
I did. I went to the screening. It was horrible.
There was a screening of that?
There was a screening, and it was horrible.
Was it conflicting with something? Because I didn't go to that screening.
No, it was a daytime screening.
Oh. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was at our favorite theater across town.
Oh, that place.
Yeah.
Was somebody, like, ripping out the wall during that?
Most likely.
Anyway, I would have ripped out the wall and been like, get me out of here! It's a Jennifer Lopez movie! Oh, my God! Ah!
You know what, though? Hmm? Jennifer Lopez was the best thing in that movie.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Mark Anthony, it was a zombie movie. Seriously, it was like zombie singers.
Zombie singers. That's awesome.
Zombie singers from space. Make that movie. I'll watch that.
I would watch that. I would watch that.
With Michael Bay.
Zombie singers from space.
And Shia LaBeouf would fit right in. It would be fine.
That's true. He'd probably have to sing. So what do you think of Parker? Are you at all interested in this?
I am, actually.
Really?
You know, Jason Statham movies, they're always fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got his shtick, and it works. And I read that somewhere, that he's like, you know, everybody's like, oh, you have to make serious movies. Like, no, I like what I do, and I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not going to try to be serious. This is fun.
Until arthritis catches up with him.
Well, yeah.
He's but, already, you know, in The Expendables.
Yeah. That hasn't stopped a lot of people. I mean, Stallone's got a movie coming out, so yeah,
Stallone's on so much juice. I don't know.
He probably doesn't feel anything.
No.
So, but, you know, it's a Taylor Hackford movie. So you never know. And
didn't he do, like, Blood In, Blood Out, like, years and years ago?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's based on a novel by Donald Westlake, who's a good author. So
wait a minute. Now, hold on. You can't sit there and say, well, it's based. I mean, you had Alex Cross.
It's true.
And you had Jack Reacher this last year.
You're right.
So I don't.
But you can still get good movies out of books.
That part of the formula doesn't quite wash, Kristen.
But they're not making it out to be a movie by Donald Westlake. So,
no,
you know, and that was the thing that they were pushing with a lot of the other ones that did really horribly.
So. I wish that it was based on Robert B. Parker, the author.
There you go.
And he's a criminal who, like, fights people with guns and explosions and boom.
Nice.
Lightning explosions, excuse
so
me.
So I don't know. I think this is intriguing.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Jason Statham action movie, and I think it's going to do as much as they put, like, $10 million into these movies,
yeah,
and they make money back, and that's good. This is what makes him worthy of being in The Expendables.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, somebody like Terry Crews, as enjoyable as he was, didn't really belong there.
No.
Or Randy Couture. What? Cauliflower ear guy? Because he was in, like, The Scorpion King Part 3.
Well, that works.
Yeah. Anyways, all these movies get a preemptive suck.
Yes.
Because they didn't show it to us.
We haven't seen anything in January. Nope. It's really sad.
But knowing that, what do you think is going to win the box office this weekend?
You know, this is a tough one.
It is.
Because you have a bunch of things that it could go anyway. But I'm going to give it to Parker.
You are?
I am.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say Zero Dark Thirty wins this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
And here's my reasoning why. And I think it's going to, like, win with, like, $12 million.
Okay.
So that's mine. $12 million, Zero Dark Thirty. Because it's holding well. I don't think anything from last. I think Mom is going to drop like a stone, just Texas Chainsaw did. And I don't see any of the. I think Hansel and Gretel is going to be a bust.
Oh, yeah.
I think Parker.
It's Jason Statham, though.
Yeah.
People see Jason Statham movies.
They might. Well, how much do you think it's going to make?
I'll give it 15.
Okay, $15 million for Parker,
mm-hmm,
for the Jennifer Lopez. So you're saying $50 million worth of people are going to go see Jennifer Lopez. See, when I phrase it that way, you're now
that,
double.
That kind of makes me sad, yeah.
You're now double thinking. You're like, oh, hold on a second.
People saw the backup plan, though.
Nah, that didn't do it.
People anyway, still saw it.
Well, okay.
And it was horrible.
It's dead.
It was absolutely horrible.
You're right, you're right. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
That's me!
We have been talking about a whole bunch of movies that we have not seen.
That's right.
Because that is the way it works in January.
It is January.
I think we've screened, what, one or two movies this month?
We got Gangster Squad.
Right.
That was it.
We did see Zero Dark Thirty, but we saw that in December.
Weeks ago. But yeah, Gangster Squad was the only screening. Well, then we've got Warm Bodies coming up, and that's it.
But that's technically a February movie.
Yes, it is a February movie.
So there you go. So yeah, this is our reality now.
Yeah.
Scrambling to talk about things that we know nothing about.
Yeah. So That's what we
But
get.
We managed to do it somehow.
We fill the time.
Yeah. Mm.
So what's up next?
Up next, we have our favorite segment, or mine, at least.
Your favorite.
It is time for the DVD Roundup.
There we are. There's some decent stuff this week. Actually, I'm surprised that how much sort of smaller releases are out on DVD and mm-hmm. Blu-ray that I actually enjoyed. End of Watch kind of headlines the list. Did you see End of Watch?
I didn't. That was one that didn't screen, and
yeah. And
I didn't hear much about it until later, and now I kind of wish I'd seen it.
It's not bad. It's a found footage movie, so it has some of that trapping.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. And it does stretch the even as bad as found footage movies are in terms of like explaining about how justifying the existence of the camera.
Yeah.
It does that quite a bit.
Now, isn't the whole gimmick of found footage that you take people who nobody knows and make it kind of believable? Because now this movie has Jake Gyllenhaal in it. You can't have a found footage movie with Jake Gyllenhaal and be like, no, this really happened.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing.
Jake Gyllenhaal turned into a cop.
That was one of my problems with, like, Paranormal Activity 2 is they had Sprague Grayson, I think is her name. Okay. And she's like in Sons of Anarchy, and she was in 24, and she was in a whole bunch. She's very recognizable. And then you're just like, it kind of breaks the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think they're just going with it. It works for what it is. I mean, if you can get past the found footage thing, it's not a bad little cop drama.
Okay.
So it's worth checking out. There's also The Paperboy, which is most famous for Nicole Kidman peeing on Zac Efron.
Right.
Sorry. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, because nobody's heard that yet.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing anybody knows about this movie.
You know what's funny about
this? I know
this?
That, like, John Cusack is in it, and Matthew McConaughey.
It got, like, it got a nomination from the Broadcast Film Critics Association. Mm-hmm. We never get copies of this. How did it get that? Usually, the Broadcast Film Critics Association, they're a bunch of, like, you know, people like me, pretentious, and I'm not going to vote for it unless I get a screener.
Nice.
But we didn't get screeners of this. I don't know who saw this movie. It came and went. It wasn't even, like,
rabbit.
It was
a blip. Yeah.
So, it was the Golden Shower movie.
Nice.
There's also Searching for Sugar Man. Did you watch that one?
I didn't.
You didn't?
That's another one I missed.
Documentary.
A documentary, yeah. See, but you get screeners of all of these things.
You didn't get the screener for this?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. I never know which ones come from whom. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I didn't get that one.
We nominated it. The Central Ohio Film Critics Association, I think, nominated it. Did we?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we did.
But there are people in our group who would do that. So.
Yeah. Searching for Sugar Man is an interesting documentary about a singer who was very big, who had no career really in America, mm-hmm. but he was very, very big in South Africa.
Right.
In the 80s, I believe. And it's them trying to find the actual guy. Because he's sort of his career went on the skids and he kind of dropped off the map.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's this search for, and it's a sweet, heartwarming documentary. But again, it's a rock. It's a music
kind of doc. Like a VH1 Where Are They Now?
Kind of. And that's the thing. I actually said this. And I said this about Queen of Versailles when I saw it. That I'm like, is reality TV kind of ruining the documentary? Because Queen of Versailles felt like a TV.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think so. You
keeping
know?
Up with the Kardashians kind mm-hmm. of show. And that's part of the reason I didn't like it. And Searching for Sugar Man, you're right. It does feel like a Where Are They Now from VH1.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a perfectly well-made film, and it's got heart to it. But, mm-hmm. you know, to me, it wasn't anything super special.
Hmm.
There's also Death Race 3 Inferno, if you're a big fan of the Death Race movies. Do you like the Death Race? Have you seen the Death Race movies?
Of course I have. I saw the first one.
Yeah.
I didn't see the second one. One of the guys who writes for me saw this one, and he said, yeah, it's all right, but, you know. They don't need to keep making these movies.
I saw it and I tweeted out at one point. I said, this shouldn't be called Death Race 3 Inferno. This should be called Cleavage and Hot Pants Fighting Race 3 Inferno. And that sold a bunch of people on it. Because there's a whole...
Well, yeah, that sounds about right.
It's
why else are they making this movie?
They mix a woman's prison, like, smackdown scene in there. And the cleavage was wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of that.
It's okay
for what it is. Yeah. I mean, for sort of these, like, direct-to-video, Universal tends to make better direct-to-video garbage than some of the other studios.
Good job, Universal.
Good job.
Way to make better garbage.
On your third-tier releases. Mm. But it's okay. It's for fans of the series. A lot of car chases, guns, lightning explosions, and boom.
There you go. Yeah. Can we talk about a movie that I have seen?
Yes, let's talk about, what are we going to talk about?
For a Good Time Call.
For a Good Time.
I have seen that one.
It's about phone sex.
It is. Kind of.
Yeah.
It's also about friendship.
Yes.
And camaraderie.
And female and empowerment.
Yeah. Which makes it sound like a horrible movie.
I was kind of surprised by this one.
It is a cute movie.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that I was expecting another Bridesmaids.
Ugh.
Where you go in and it's just, you know, just slamming you with all these obnoxious, crude jokes. And that's not what it does. You know,
yeah.
Okay, so it's about a phone sex hotline. But that's not really what it's about.
Yeah.
And they don't make it as crude and obnoxious as they can. And it's cute. It's a cute movie.
What I found interesting about this movie was it did something like, it's sort of like I said this about The Guilt Trip, the movie with Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
The temptation now is to make everything The Hangover and
to
go extreme and have that scene, have that one scene where Melissa McCarthy's pooping in the sink, you know, that and I get it. It worked in Bridesmaids. Fine. I didn't like Bridesmaids. But,
I didn't either.
But not every movie needs that. Not every movie needs that extreme, crazy, run around, oh, no thing. Just tell the story, and if it works, it works. And this there were plenty of opportunities for crazy shenanigans.
Oh, yeah.
But really, it is this story of these two young ladies who end up living together, and they hate each other at first. It's a very typical story, but you're right. It is a little more about the characters.
It is.
And it's just the backdrop of them running a phone sex line.
And to connect it to The Guilt Trip.
Yes.
It happens to star Seth Rogen's wife.
Oh, is that Lauren, what's her name?
Yes.
She's cute.
Mm-hmm.
She's cute. And Seth Rogen is in it, too.
Of course. He makes an appearance.
In an appearance. And then they have that a weird cameo with Kevin Smith.
Completely random.
He has some strange cameos. He was in this movie called 4321. Did you see that?
No.
It was this weird British movie, and it was kind of like a, trying to be a little bit of a Run Lola Run kind of.
Okay.
It had these four different storylines, and Kevin Smith has the most bizarre cameo in it. Makes you wonder. The guy is so high on dope. That guy, I am surprised he can put on pants in the morning.
It is amazing.
Then again, I don't know if he was wearing pants in these last two cameos I've seen him in.
It's true. He may not have been.
I'm not wearing pants. I'm just in my hazmat suit with my tiny little butt.
Great.
For a Good Time Call was good. And Universal Soldier, Day of Reckoning is out. Are you a big fan of the Universal Soldier franchise?
I can't say that I am.
Have you seen any Universal Soldier? Are you aware that there are movies?
I am aware of the franchise, yes.
This is the fourth, I believe?
Yeah. Probably a few too many.
It's actually not bad. It had a very limited theatrical run in November.
Oh, really?
And
I don't even remember that.
It's still a... It was like, it's been on demand for a couple months, but it was like $10 to rent or, you know, and
$10.
Well, they do that.
That's
they
ridiculous.
Release these like theatrical on demands and they're like $10 and you're like, just wait like 3 months and you can get it at Redbox for like $1.29.
Right.
So that's what I do. But Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning isn't bad. It's got Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren. I don't know exactly how they come back because I think they were all killed in the first one.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I lost track in the '90s. But it's for an action movie, for just sort of that run-of-the-mill action movie, it's not too bad. So I recommend that. There's also Ken and The Stinker. This is not also, but this is The Stinker.
Also ran.
Kendra, season 4. Because why is this on the air? It's
I don't know.
She's from The Girls Next Door.
I know. That was a long time ago. It's time to move on.
She is so obnoxious.
Yes.
Anyways, and we're going to be moving on here on Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Review wrap-up, Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, Movie 43, and Parker all get preemptive sucks because they didn't show these to us. I think they may have shown – there's a friend of mine in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong.
I think got a – I couldn't tell whether he got a screening of Hansel and Gretel or whether he was just going because it opened in Hong Kong already. Because that happens sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
They'll open things
a lot
international.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's Hong Kong, so, you know – God knows what date there it is there. I don't even think he does.
What day it is there?
What day is it? It's either today or tomorrow. The international dateline somewhere.
I think it is tomorrow, actually.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the box office prediction for this week, I say Zero Dark Thirty is going to come back and win the weekend with $12 million. You think Parker is going to clean up with $15
million. Woo!
We will see who's correct on that next week. And also next week, we'll be talking about Bullet to the Head. We had Schwarzenegger. We had Statham. Now we've got Stallone.
And why not?
Bullet to the Head. We'll talk about the stand-up guys and Warm Bodies. Until next week, we will see you all at the movies. Thank you again. Welcome back, Kristen.
Thank you. It's so good to be back. Good night.